A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Did we just become best friends?
Yup!
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yup!
Big ton of friendship.
I like you. Do you like me?
I do like you.
You are my friend.
You're a nice young man, and I am your friend.
Shut up, Pete. I got friends now. I don't need you anymore.
You are my friend!
Friend requests.
The friend request?
Why ain't this my friend request, bro? But you don't want to be my friend.
Hello and welcome to the Friend Request. It's me, your host, Chloe Madron. I am thrilled to see you all today. I miss you guys. I miss talking to you. You're in for a real treat with this episode. Today's guest, he and I just couldn't shut up. Like, honestly, could have talked for a lot longer. So it's going to be a good one. I hope you enjoy it. I have a little kitten at my feet here trying to eat my podcast book. So that's very cute. Stop. Anyway, I of course would love to plug my beautiful dates coming up. I have a Melbourne show for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival coming up. It's called Hot Girl Stuff. You can just Google Hot Girl Stuff Chloe Madron and it'll come up. Otherwise, the link's in my bio and will be in the show notes of today's show. I would love to see you there, but I've also had confirmation that I will be bringing the show up to Sydney soon after, and I think Brisbane still, and then, you know, all over the world. Anyway, would love to see you there. Otherwise, I don't really have anything else to plug at the moment. I just want you to enjoy this lovely episode. Of course, also I should say, if there are any first-time listeners joining us, welcome. Welcome. This is the Friendship Podcast. We talk about friends and we talk about how the hell does anyone get them? Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here. I am Chloe. I'm a comedian from Sydney. And I also would like to say that if you're into the show, like if you listen to today's episode and you're loving it, I do recommend that you go back to the start of the podcast and listen from the start because, like, the episodes are great. I definitely had more technical issues when I was starting, but I think they're all really fun. You get to know me a little bit better, and, like, every single guest I've had on so far has just been phenomenal. So it's all a really good time. Otherwise, you know, you'll also find out that I call you Requesties. That's a lovely little nickname I've given to the beautiful listeners of this podcast. And if you just hear me saying that without the context, I think obviously you'll think I'm nuts. Anyway, today's show is going to be a good one. The guest I have on today, he's a wonderful comedian, Melbourne-based comedian, originally from Adelaide. He's so funny, so wildly talented. Please enjoy today's guest. It's the very, very funny Aidan Jones. Welcome to the Friend Request.
Thank you for having me on the Friend Request.
Oh, thank you so much for coming.
I'm so psyched to be here. I just realized that I probably shouldn't eat the popcorn because it's going to be in my mouth and we'll be talking.
Yeah, no, that's part of the
Is
charm.
Is that fine?
Yeah.
That's part of the charm. The charm away, King.
No, I've literally only had one episode where people complained about someone eating popcorn because the way he was eating it was egregious.
Oh, I was just going to say that's a good way to weed out the weak people who don't deserve to listen to the podcast,
so
though,
true.
Huh?
Yeah.
But egregious is... Who was it? Name and shame.
It was Andrew Hamilton.
It's sick.
Which I've mentioned it on so many other episodes and not named him, and so many people will just figure it out because they're like... Yeah, we know. He was just chewing nonstop.
You mean the dude who went
open.
To jail, like, doesn't chew with his mouth closed?
I know. It's so crazy.
That's mean. That's why would I say that?
No, it's fine. It's fine. That's not what he went to jail for. But I think... Send
but it
him
should
back.
Be a punishable offense.
It's terrible. Oh, my gosh.
No. Like, karma will have it that I now will eat really loudly and no. people will be like that actually this fucking bearded cunt is the worst
this
of everyone
is the worst.
Yeah, that's
fuck.
What's gonna happen
fuck no you got this now I believe in rude. You like surprisingly enough Ben Koshin actually ate the most popcorn
yeah
but he did it in a lovely manner
beautiful
apparently.
Polite uh-huh. clean Ben Koshin
mm-hmm.
I don't even know I've never been to his house but I imagine it's very clean
surely
and polite just a polite abode.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're up in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see it. You're mm-hmm. here doing gigs.
I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm doing it. Yeah, man.
I love that you've come to do the podcast. I often will start to like by saying how I know someone or when I met someone. And I know I've told you this before, but you may not remember, but you actually emceed my first ever gig.
Oh, was that, and your parents were there?
No.
I remember that one.
Okay.
I don't remember this story, tell me.
No, wait, was...
I emceed a gig where your parents were there.
That would have been in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Was that like one of my shows or something?
Yes, actually, yes. Yeah. That was, what was it called, Brooklyn
Bar? Yeah, oh my God, I've forgotten. Something about Brooklyn.
It was some Brooklyn bar. And anyway, and you went on and did like, you were very explicit about your sexual history. And then I went on afterwards and I was like, your parents are here, right? And they were like, yes!
Yeah, they support me a lot.
It's like, it's their this family fault. Is really open.
Oh, so open.
Oh, my family, we're full of shame.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, how was that?
Well, like, I mean, we're quite open about a lot of things, but then I've realized as I get older that there are certain things that I don't even realize that there are lines there because we have the illusion of openness.
Yeah.
But there are some things that we're not very comfortable, me, my mum, my brother.
Okay.
Just not very comfortable talking about.
Like what?
Like sex explicitly. Yeah, okay. Like that kind of stuff. Like I'll be, you know, like it's like I would when I was like 18 or whatever, I would bring girls home, you know, and they would stay and they would come out or whatever.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Which is fine. Yeah. But then we would never talk about it. Like I would never be like, all right, mum, so like blowjobs. Like,
oh man, I don't fucking want to talk about it with my mum at all. She's the one who was leaving her vibrator out on the bedside table.
See,
like,
that's chaos.
It was nuts.
Yeah, wow.
I didn't choose this.
Okay.
Now the it's like they want to come to comedy shows. Sure, that it's payback.
Yeah,
you can listen to me, and I'm like, I don't talk a lot about sex. I'll talk about my pussy.
Which is not an inherently sexual organ.
It's often bleeding.
That's true.
And that's what I'm babbling on about.
You know what? You've reclaimed the pussy from the male gaze, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is terrible for the first 10 minutes. YouTube's going to hate this.
Is it? Oh, yeah, pussy. No, I know I said cunt before. No!
Maybe I'll bleep it.
Yeah,
who knows?
Bleep it out,
we'll
man.
See.
I've
we'll
said
see.
It again now, too. Like a rat.
No. Yeah, I remember, I think I might have been like 20 or early 20s when my mom said, you know, you could probably do with a little shame.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, nice.
Like, again, it's her fault that I'm like this, but she was right. Like, I have very little ability to keep anything to myself because I think everything's fine and should be talked about.
I think that's actually, I love that. I think that's the way to do it. I think things, yeah, man, it's like, why not just talk about the stuff? And then at least you know where someone stands.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
no
totally.
One's like, Chloe Madron, I wonder what she thinks about this stuff, you know? And that's good. You're a known quantity.
No one's like, can I imagine? She's so mysterious. I just, wow. I want to be.
I mean, I like to think of myself like that. I hope I am as much as possible an open book.
You have a solo podcast, which has been going for what?
Six years?
Yeah. So you like, that's just a numbers game. You've been talking on your own for that long.
Yeah.
You're going to have told.
Yeah, I've told everything.
Right.
I've actually learned so much from this podcast, which, by the way, and I just thought of this, but it's so true. I think my goal for the podcast is to have been going more years than I have listeners. Because I have, and it's remarkably consistent. At the moment, the last 3 weeks, 57 exactly. And it really hovers around 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. No one ever fucking opens up about their listeners. I love this.
Dude, it's a fucking, man, my podcast, I've just kind of come, I've spent years trying to market it and be like, this is what it is. It's nothing. It's a journal. You shouldn't listen to it. It's crazy. But I love doing it. And there are 57 people who also think it's good.
That's awesome.
And then everyone else who starts it, they're just like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. But they're weak. They're stopping. They're pathetic. That's crazy.
That's it. I should start eating popcorn on my podcast
too. You should. Really weed them out. There needs
barriers to entry.
You want to drive that number down.
Yes, that's the key.
37.
Well, if no one listened for like, you know, a month straight, then I would be free. I would just, I'd be like, you know. Whereas now, I mean, I do enjoy doing it, but I know that there are people who've been listening forever and I'm like, oh, I can't miss it because like, I know they love it too. And I love that they love it. Yeah. We're like in this weird monkey grip situation. It's like an abusive relationship.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you get so much out of it though, because I mean, I do with this and I can't imagine, like, you see people towards the end, like tail end of podcasts before they really like break up or whatever, you see people just like begrudgingly sitting together having these chats.
And
it's
This,
what are you doing? This should at least be fun for you.
Yeah, totally.
Crazy.
Yeah, man. No, I get so much out of my podcast. It's like I try and do therapy on myself. That's basically what it is.
That's so awesome.
And just talk shit out or like shit that I've been excited about this week. You know, I'll just talk about it and find links and whatever.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love that. When you started it, why did you choose to do it by yourself?
Because I love Bill Burr and I love his podcast. And then also, I don't know, man, maybe it's the shame thing again. I think I'm not good at asking for help or like, you know, reaching out to people. And I couldn't think of anyone that I would do a podcast with, but you know, the reason I started it, actually the birth of the idea, I just burped with my mouth shut, but I think the mic still picked it up. So I just want to let everyone know it tasted like affogato. I just had a fucking beautiful ice cream. I was in Sydney in 2014, I moved to London, and just before I moved to London, I met this girl who was like really cool and we were getting on in Melbourne. And she was like, would you stay? And I was like, no, I'm going to London. And she was like, oh. And so I moved to London. And over those 2 years, we still kept in loose touch. And we would like sex every now and then or whatever. Nice. And then when I came back to Melbourne, she had moved to Sydney. And we were still talking. And that was like September 2016.
Okay.
We were still talking. And so I was like, oi, I'll come to Sydney and let's hang out. And that was like January 2017, I reckon. Okay. And I got my friends to drive me to the airport. And when I got to the airport and my friends had left, she was like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know, but I just started seeing someone. So like, whatever. And I was like, oh, so I stayed one night at my other friend's house in Sydney. And then I was like, oh, I should go fucking see this girl. And she was like, you can still stay. Like, we're idiots. And so I went to her house and we just spent the worst 24 hours together. It was just a nightmare. Oh, and then I was like, hey, I'm going to go stay in a hostel.
Yeah.
And I went to a hostel and I didn't know anyone else. I didn't have any gigs booked. So I had nothing to do of an evening. And I was still, I guess I wasn't that good at spending time by myself at that point in my life. And so I just went out into a park and I wanted to talk to someone, but I didn't know who to talk to. So I just put my phone on record and just told the story into my phone. And that's why my podcast is called Sitting Under a Tree, because I was in a park. And I didn't start doing it regularly until like a year later over another heartbreak, actually.
Okay.
But anyway, that's why. It's because it was just me venting. It was like, I don't know who to talk to, or I don't want to bore my friends with this stupid bullshit.
Wow.
So let me just, you know.
That's really what's the word I'm looking for? Cool, great, insightful, self-aware of you.
I thought you were going to say damaged, needs therapy, self-hating.
No. I mean, to not like put that on your friends, because obviously friends are there for us to reach out to, and it's so helpful and important, but it's also like, I don't know. I hear a lot about this like running theme, and I've definitely experienced it myself of like, a lot of straight men leaning on their like girlfriends to be their free therapists. Whenever I hear about a guy who's like, oh no, I didn't want to dump this on my friends, I'm like, wow, you're a hero.
Well, I mean, let me walk back from that compliment then by saying that I normally have like, oh, now maybe not now, but definitely at the time would have one close female friend at a time, because secretly that was a lady I wanted to sleep with.
Yep.
And the close female friend that I had at that time had just told me that she didn't want to fuck me. And I hadn't found a new one yet. I didn't have a backup. That's the lesson. You always have a backup.
Oh my fucking God. You're brave to admit this. I'm so grateful, but fucking hell. God, you know, I get it. Especially like being single, you know, I've spoken about it so many times on the pod, as I'm like, I want to kiss everybody. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. But God fucking damn it. Does it suck to be the friend who's like, I'm so excited to have this best friend that we hang out all the time. And then they're like, let's fuck. And even if you're like, well, I could fuck. Or they're like, you know, even if you're like, yeah, I guess. It's still, it's just like, God damn it.
Yeah, it's not the thing. I thought this was a different thing.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. I'm very proud of the fact that in the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years or something, I have like, you know, platonic friendships with women now.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm staying with a friend who we have a platonic friendship, and it's wonderful, you know.
What started it? Like how did that change?
Slow process, I guess, but I quit drinking you know, 4.5 years ago. That's a big one.
Yeah.
The self-pity and like horniness that's linked to self-pity that comes with a hangover makes it hard to maintain platonic friendships with women, I think. Could be like, hey, she's my friend. Maybe she wants to do me a favor.
Oh my God.
Hey, you're my friend, right?
Oh my God. No, look, I get it. I've only ever dated friends because they're there, and it's awesome. You're like, all right, so you're already here and I could be naked in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I get it.
Wow, you wear a lot of tearaway clothes or you fucking around with quick. Velcro?
Yeah, I wear all Velcro clothes, actually.
Whenever I'm hanging out with my friends, I like to really clip up.
I dress like a toddler, okay?
Yeah.
God damn. Okay. So the stopping drinking is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're a comedian. Did you go through like AA and everything?
No. Nah.
Okay.
Man, I was just talking to some of the comics last night on the show, because one of them said they were thinking of quitting drinking, and they asked me about it. And I'm kind of, I guess, proud and guilty about this, because my answer was, they were like, you know, what happened? How was it? Like, was it hard? And I was like, honestly, I decided that I was going to quit. And the first time I tried, I quit. I had no problems. Shit. I was so lucky. That's like, you so know, good. I just fucking, I realized that sometimes, like, you know, maybe 10-20% of the times that I started drinking, I would get to a point where I didn't like the person that I was.
Yeah.
And there's no way to control the night. Some nights it was fine, but some nights it was bad. And there's no way to know at the start of the night what kind of night this is going to be. So I had to shut it all down.
Yeah, right.
And I had the idea one morning. I was on tour in Asia, and I just woke up one morning with like a pretty bad hangover. Mm-hmm. And it was like this like light bulb. It was like, what if I never drank again? Ever, period, full stop, no rules, no whatever, just like, nah. And it was like, oh, like a weight just, you know, lifted.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Fuck.
And like, it's been fucking 4.5 years.
Yeah. God damn. All right. So you didn't even need anything like AA.
Nah, but like I've thought, you know what? I wish I would go to AA, because like, I won't say the comic's name because it's Alcoholics Anonymous, but there's a comic who does shows about addiction who has been in AA, and I was speaking with them and they said it's a great way to sell tickets.
Oh my God!
Because I did a show last year about quitting drinking.
Oh, my
and
God.
They were like, dude, you should just go to AA because they will all come to your show, but you can't go with the aim of selling this. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's so funny.
You've got to be respectful. And I was like, that Fuck, sounds like man. Heaps of work. I wish I had already done that work so I could just have the money.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart. I'm actually, I have been like, I think a month now where I've been looking at meetings, not for AA, but for Overeaters Anonymous, because of disordered eating.
Okay.
And I've already started writing about it before I've even gone.
Nice.
Cause I'm like, this is a rich vein, but I also...
That's like classic comedy brain, you know? Like, I haven't even had this experience yet, but here's the jokes.
I know. It's so bad. But I am going to go because I was recommended, like, it's just a really good way to get a handle of eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But my show is like 100% about disordered eating and vanity. So... guess I'll be bringing some flyers to the meeting.
Yeah, hard out though. Why not?
Why not?
Something that's like, I mean, it does feel kind of, I guess, self-indulgent to be like, hey, come and see my thing. But also I think good art gives, you know, good art is about giving something to people.
Totally.
And who do you want to give this thing to?
They're literally the ideal audience.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, on one hand, sure, selfish, but on the other hand, actually really generous.
Yeah, actually. Actually really
How dare you not do that? Have you always struggled with that?
Yeah, pretty much as long as I can remember.
Eating disorders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it got really bad the last couple of years. I blame a roast battle that I did about 2 years ago.
Oh, where
I was called a fat slut for, 10 minutes.
That'll do it.
I definitely think it wasn't anything to do with me or any, like, deep-seated issues. I think it was that one.
Oh, right. One. Sure. Yes. Irony.
Suck out.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. It's just been, like, way worse. And it's like helpful and not helpful to get more attention online and stuff, because it's like, great, I'm getting all this validation, but then also I'm like, oh, there's a bunch of people now talking about my disgusting body.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because you just do a podcast and you're a woman.
Yeah, and I was on a YouTube thing that like blew up, so there's just a lot of
what thing that strangers. Joke thing.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that, but I've
don't
the audience for that sound like fucking dogs, because the Steph Broadbridge thing, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know if we should name people or
no,
whatever.
No, she's done like, this. We spoke about it at length.
Yeah, man, it's awful.
Yeah, it's crazy because there's so many beautiful people that have come from it to here, and I'm so grateful for them, and I love them. But yeah, I mean, it's just the internet. It's everywhere. Like,
Man.
I look at people's female anythings, comics, like largely, but female anythings online, and it's like the fucking best people, and they're still top comment is something about how they look, or making a broad statement about women in general. I'm just like, this is just, it's a mess.
Yeah, people are fucking nuts. Ugh. Hey, it sucks, man.
It's crazy.
Nice to be able to not, I don't know how to do it, you know, but to just be able to ignore that stuff.
Yeah,
there's got to be a way to do it.
Yeah, I think I personally am finding being busy, like in the physical real world around me, is so helpful, because then you just can't be on your phone. Like, I've got all the filters on so that I don't see get notifications for comments and anything like that, but it's like, actually just the classic, go outside.
Just do, leave your phone at home.
Leave
your phone at home and do some shit.
Or if you need it, like, turn notifications off, you know.
It's so insidious the way the phone is designed, where it's like they have all these things, these functions on the phone that they're like, we'll help you use it less.
Yeah.
Because they don't want you to use it not at all, because they know if you leave it at home, it's not in your pocket. They're like, it's like fucking gambling machines going like, there's a limit. And it's like, what about no gambling machines? Whoa. Let's not go crazy. You know, it's like, we want you to still have the little hook, but we'll help you. It's like, you don't want to fucking help me.
No, you want to track me. Yeah. You want to listen.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just about to start screaming. I can feel it. I'm looking for the one thing that I can really focus on, because I just want to start shouting.
No, I actually love my phone. I love Apple, our beautiful overlords.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Westworld lately, so I'm like really trying to keep the respect up for the machines.
Okay, what's Westworld about? Is that the machines take
over? It's about, it's like a theme park full of robots that look and act like humans. And that, you know, develops in a way that you would imagine.
Dystopian future type of thing.
Yeah. And I've always thought this, like, I used to play a lot of video games, but Jacob's been playing Red Dead Redemption again lately. Yep. And I'm always like, be nice to the NPCs, because just, you know, I worry about them. I worry about, like, everyone dies and then they come back to life. And I'm like, this is a fucking hell.
Yeah.
And like, because I'm not certain that we're not in a fucking simulation or a video game. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, be kind to them.
Yeah.
You know?
Be kind to the NPCs.
Be kind to the NPCs.
Man, I wish I had time to play fucking computer games, dude. It makes me, like, weep. I just, there's a game that just came out, Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
My brother's a big gamer. And my housemate in Melbourne also. And they're both just telling me about it. And I'm like, I know I can't. It would be like buying a crack pipe. Like, really? I just can't. I downloaded Civilization 6 during lockdown and I put 600 hours into it.
Wow.
I would get to the airport like 4 hours early just to play Civ.
Oh my God.
And you know, like, it just sucks. I just can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just, and like my housemate's like, just play like 20 minutes at a time. It's like reading a book. And I'm like, how do you do that, man?
No.
I know I would just get fucking sucked into the vortex.
Yeah, okay. That's it's good to know.
Yeah.
You know yourself. You know your addiction brain.
I would try and write a show about it to justify it. I'd be like, Taco's writing an interesting new show about this fucking video game.
This sounds terrible.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No, don't be. That's great. I don't play video games anymore because I used to get way too angry playing them, like really, really pumped up. But then I realized like a week ago that it might have had something to do with I was only playing like Tekken and UFC and like fighting games.
Yes.
And also I was doing like cocaine every day. But
Oi, but that says something about your temperament, that those are the games that you're drawn to.
I know. I'm an angry little girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're like, because, you know, maybe Jacob's way of like acting out fantasies or whatever is, you know, telling the NPCs to kill themselves or whatever he's doing
nice.
In there.
He's good.
Or whatever. You told me off camera the stuff that he was doing. I won't say it here. But maybe your way is like, you know, I want to punch a fucking huge man in the head.
Yeah.
I want to play as a tiny little Japanese girl and fight all these massive men.
Yeah, totally. I feel empowered. But for so many people, it's like chill time.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
No, I don't get that at all. Mm-mm. Man, I came up in high school. Me and my friends used to have LAN parties. Are you familiar with this subculture?
Yeah.
We used to have LAN parties. 8 guys bring our fucking big old tower computers to one guy's house.
Oh.
And play. And this is why I have no sympathy for people are like, be nice to nerds. I'm like, nerds are the fucking most savage, bullying people.
Absolutely.
My friends, we used to play Dota on Warcraft 3, and I was really bad. And I would cry every single LAN party. I would cry at least once.
Oh my God.
And rage quit. And then go play like Oblivion by myself because it's single player.
Oh my God.
And my friends would play Dota and I'm just like, I fucking hate you guys.
Oh my God. Yeah. Were you just getting upset because of what they were saying? Or like, were they not being good?
Yeah, because they were just like, man, why are you so fucking bad?
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, these formative experiences are probably why I do a podcast by myself.
Yeah. Oh my God. Have you found that... in comedy and stuff, have you ever had like a comedy partner, like a person that you do shows with and that sort of stuff? Mm-hmm. Or yeah,
when I started out, it was me, Luca Muller, and Blake Freeman.
Yeah,
we were the three boys, man.
Good trio.
And the best, like, still some of the greatest days, man. We would just do this shit, music open mics, and just like crazy, insane shows. Luca would drive. I was 21, Luca was 19, and Blake was 17.
Oh my God.
And we would go to these insane shows, and then we would drive around till like 2 in the morning, get Maccas, you know, go like get a bottle of wine, and then just like drink in a park. And then Luca would drive Blake out to the western suburbs, like hillside, you know, just. The best.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah, man. Holy we did that shit. For like 2 years before I moved away.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've always been very envious when people have like a really tight thing. Like I had a few boys in the open mic scene in Brisbane that we were really close and they'd like I'd always be driving and then we'd come back to my place after gigs and get pizzas and get high and whatever.
That's
and
sick.
It was really cute.
Yeah.
And like, I think even at that time I didn't really realize that was... the people and that's what it was.
That's what it's about when you start comedy, right? Yeah. Comedy is a forced community.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it by yourself. You have to go to a place and there's other people. And so one of the great things about it is it forces you to meet these people and then you have friends.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's so nice, man.
How did your friendships go throughout sobriety? Like, through getting sober? How do you know? Because people are drunks in this country.
I think maybe I'm very lucky, or maybe just I was old enough. Like, I would never have been able to do it. When I quit drinking, that was like, I couldn't have done it before then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's a moot point because I did do it then. So, you know, but like when I was younger, I would have caved to peer pressure and the people around me wouldn't have understood as much.
Yeah.
But like, there's a beautiful story that I think epitomizes the drinking culture in Australia that I was telling on stage for a bit. Brett Blake, right? I was on tour in New South Wales with Brett Blake and Nick Kappa.
Okay.
And we were in Dubbo. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was running the show in Dubbo, we went back to where we were sleeping at his house before going on the next day. And the guy who ran the show was like, boys, fucking, I was dating this girl, this Spanish girl for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And when we went to Spain and her dad gave me this bottle of wine and was like, when you propose to my daughter, I want you to drink this wine. And we broke up like 6 months ago and I just can't have this fucking wine in my house. Like, please drink it with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, like that's really nice. And you know, I'm sorry and whatever, but like I quit drinking. Like it was like, I don't know, like a year ago or something. Yeah. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't drink. And Brett turned to me and was like, mate, if you don't want to drink, you don't want to drink. Good for you. That's awesome, right? That's great. You know, great decision. And then Kappa was like, man, I'm actually feeling pretty tired, so I might go to bed as well. And Brett was like, you shut the fuck up and you drink that fucking wine, you little bitch. And that's like, because it is, it's like, if you don't drink, you don't drink. But if you do drink, but you don't want to, no.
It's not acceptable. Fuck. That's a great story.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, the
I mean, that's so
exactly
Brett.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He's such a sweet man, but he's also such a psycho in the same breath.
Oh my God. That's probably my problem. Because I really do not like to drink. I'm allergic and I get so sick from like one or two drinks and it's just not worth it. So I really occasionally will have one because I like the taste of alcohol. Like I like wine and stuff. But these days it's just been like, you know, once every 2 months maybe. And I cop so much shit for it because I think that's it. I need to make like a harder rule of I'm sober.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, like, isn't it? Because if you're just like, oh, I don't want to drink tonight, people are always like, why?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
And if you give them a good reason, but it's hard to find a good reason.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, you know, like my dad died or something. Like, there's not a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be like, I just don't want to drink tonight. They're like, well, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
it
always becomes like a judgment. People judge themselves.
Yeah, which is crazy because I'm like, I want to hang out.
Yeah.
I want to still be here. I'm fun.
I think that's what was so like the realization that I had. It was just like, yeah, once I realized I just don't drink again ever, part of the weightlifting was I was like, I understood in that moment, I'm just going to be able to tell that to people and they can't argue with it either.
That's awesome.
I can't argue with it myself because it's an unbendable rule and also no one else can because that's just like, I just don't drink.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Did you find that you were still like, did you start to socialize less?
I noticed more like, the rhythm of a night out and the kind of moment when there's a moment when I get tired and I understand now that I used to just drink through that moment and hope that something good would happen.
Yeah.
But now when I get tired, I'm like, I just am not having fun anymore. So it's time to go home.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, I've had fun. It's been great. And now I'm going home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love an early night, man.
That's so good. But like when you say early night, what are you talking about? You've still been out for a few hours,
yeah,
right?
comedy early is like midnight.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Drives me crazy how long these people want to hang out for. Like, you want to hang out for 7 hours?
You want to keep talking?
7 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to have a chat, but I also like love to take my pants off and lie down.
Go to bed, man.
Right? I don't even need to go. Like, I'm rarely wanting to go to bed. Okay. I want to come home. I want to be on my couch.
Right.
I don't know.
Would you have other people around in your house? Is that the scenario that you want? Or you just want to hang out with Jacob?
Jacob or on my own?
Yeah.
My cat.
Cat time.
cat time.
Yeah. No, I have to really amp myself. And by the way, I'm sober, but I still take drugs.
Yeah, okay.
But drugs is a very occasional, like, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times a year, maybe. Yeah. Not even.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
But that's my, like, release valve. If I'm going to have a big night, I'll amp myself up for it for, like, a week before, get the MDMA, you know, and then take it, and I'm, like, take it with the other people, and then I'm just like, I know I'm going to be up until sunrise. That's just the situation.
Oh, totally. It's so nice to be able to do that, though, like, to not have that be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Have you, did you, were you a young party girl?
When you say you're like party, 18,
19, clubbing.
Oh, all that. No, not clubbing. No. Like sitting around someone's share house, smoking bongs and doing drugs.
Weed lady.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because I mean, I never could drink. It always made me sick. So, yeah. And my boyfriend was like a couple years older when I was 18. So they'd already done that. I think I've been clubbing maybe 5 times in my life.
Oh, that's fascinating.
4 or something. Yeah. It's too loud.
It sucks. It's an awful experience.
Were you into it?
Oh, I loved it. That was my whole life for like 2 years or something. Wow. When I turned 18, or like maybe 4 months after I turned 18, I got a job at this nightclub in Adelaide called Red Square.
Whoa.
And I worked there for 18 months. Mm-hmm. And all of my friends were like the dealers and DJs and all this stuff. And it's just such a formative period in my life. We would be out 4 nights a week and just like, it was the best.
Yeah, it but sounds also fun.
The best part of it, I don't know how those guys did it. I was working behind the bar.
Yeah.
So I was drinking for free and I had stuff to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how those guys stayed out all night with nothing to do.
God.
That's like a slog. But the best bit was like at 10 a.m. or whatever, we would all go back to someone's house and just do the rest of our drugs and buy a case of vodka cruisers and sit on the roof. Oh,
that sounds so nice.
What times, man. It was the best.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. I was scared.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's just never been... I don't know.
I remember the first time I did MDMA. It was like a week after I finished school. And a friend of mine from school, we were at this club in Adelaide called Marble Bar.
Yeah.
And this guy, Daniel Travers, came up to me. We were drinking or whatever. And he was just like... A lot of my friends from school were pretty straighty 180.
Mm-hmm.
No one really did drugs. I went to a nice school.
Mm.
And Trav was like, dude, how fucked is this? That guy over there, that's like a friend of a friend of mine. He's selling drugs. Like, isn't that fucked? And I don't know why. I was just like, which guy? That guy? Sick. Like, I'd never thought about it before, but I just went over and I was like, hey, man, you selling drugs? Can I have one?
Yeah.
And I bought a pill off him and I took it. And then I used to want to be a rapper when I was like 18 and we were at McDonald's and I was so high and my mate Foodie was beatboxing and I was rapping and I don't know if it's real, but people were loving it. In my mind, it was like it was the greatest night of my life.
Oh my God.
I was like, I love taking drugs.
Yeah. It's awesome. They're so fun.
Yeah.
I never was like, cautious. I mean, I was nerdy about taking drugs as a kid. I was very like, do half. I got Bitcoin when it was like very early days. I was dating an older boy. So he was like really into it. Basically, I bought $50 worth of Bitcoin when it was about 20 cents per coin.
Yo, what?
It's gone now. Don't. It's so sad. It's so sad. I know. So we made some money.
I bet.
We made some money and and we got some drugs and everything. We would get lab tested. Like we were nice. Yeah, we were really like nerdy about it. But I was never like, oh, I don't want to take drugs.
Mm.
Actually, as soon as I said that, I just had the flashback of me thinking that I wouldn't take drugs. So never mind. I might have had that for a second.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they're so fun.
Dude, my friend has been living in Japan for like 5 years. And a part of the way he's able to do that was like 15 years ago. Him and a few other guys got Bitcoin to buy drugs on the dark web.
Yeah.
And he just held on to some.
Yeah.
And now every now and then just takes like some cash out of that.
Fucking hell.
To just keep funding his life and like teaches English in Japan and, you know, has a job or whatever. But that's his safety net.
That's so cool. It's so good. Man, I'm kicking myself because it was all in my boyfriend at the time's account. So I was like, here's my money. We made a bunch. We were partying. We went to Thailand for a month with it. Like, it was all great things. But there was still a shit ton there when I left him. And things were like quite abusive.
Right.
Towards the end there. So I was like, I'm out, like calling the cops kind of level. Right. And it just wasn't worth trying to get
So you know, fair.
Which
so
sucks.
Fair.
But like, I'm pretty sure he just lost it all. He's been in jail since.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, how's he doing?
I don't know if he's alive still. I actually dreamt it. I don't know. I don't keep tabs.
That's crazy.
He could be dead. Everyone could be dead.
This is a crazy question. Do you ever think about like people who you've had sex with who are dead?
Yeah.
I can't think. I reckon there was one. That's I've never said this out loud before. I think I remember someone who I had sex with years ago died. I can't remember who. But, like, that's a crazy thought, hey?
It's just a crazy thought.
We had sex and now you're dead.
Yeah. It's weird.
That's fucked, isn't it?
I don't think I know. I don't know everyone I've had sex with, but I don't think I know that any of them have died. But there was a guy who did try to slip something into my drink.
Whoa.
Who was, like, in the same circle as me. So I knew him. It wasn't, like, a stranger trying to do it, but it was still bad.
Yeah.
And he died.
Whoa.
And that was weird because I was like, he wasn't cool to me. I didn't like that, but also like, don't die.
Yeah, you don't want to be like die. Maybe just like you lost a leg in like a train accident or something would be kind of fair.
Don't go and die. Now you're like the pity party. Like, no, god damn it.
Now people are talking about him, and you're like, that guy actually sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So weird.
Yeah, wow.
Death's weird.
Death is weird.
Mm.
Who do you know anyone who died last year?
Last year.
I know a few people who died last year.
Really?
Last year was a big year for death.
Fuck. That sucks. I'm sorry.
That was really sad.
That sucks.
R.I.P. Bella Green. Big ups to Bella Green.
Yeah. The oh, my God. I didn't know Bella Green, but ever. That's so cool.
Oh. So cool, dude.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, can I tell you a funny story?
Please.
Oh my God, this is about death. My friend, not in comedy, one of my oldest friends, we've been friends for like 15 years. Mm. We met on Australia Day, Australia Day 2009,
okay.
The night after I got arrested for smashing a tram stop with a hammer. Anyway.
Oh my God.
At my friend's party. Anyway, fuck, whatever. We've been friends forever. We dated when we were like 19 and then we just have been friends since and I love her so much. Oh. And I caught up with her a few weeks ago in Adelaide because she's back in Adelaide. And, you know, we had a lovely time and she told me that she had had some tough times lately and I was asking her about that. And she mentioned, I don't want to be like too whatever about it, but, you know, you ask someone, have you any plans? What would you do? And she was like, oh, yeah, I have like planned a couple things, but I don't think I'm really going to do it. But like, whatever. And I said to support, I was just like, okay, if you ever are actually going to kill yourself, tell me and I'll help you.
Yeah.
And what I meant was like, I won't fight you or argue with you.
Yeah.
But I'll just be there and, you know, but just call me. Just call me. And then I dropped her home. And then I went to my friend's place to do mushrooms because my friend, how cool is this? My friend's a psych nurse and she just trained to be like one of the people who administers MDMA and psilocybin to people.
What a job.
So sick.
That's so cool.
So me and her husband did mushrooms in their house and just like watched YouTube for a few hours. Sick.
Oh, nice.
And then I like midnight or whatever, it was my mum's birthday the next day. So I was like, I gotta go home and get some sleep so I can hang out with my mum. And I left the car there. I was like, I probably shouldn't drive. So I got an Uber home. And then I'm in my mum's place still like tripping a little bit, but just coming off it and like having ideas about comedy. And I was just like, this is amazing. And then at like 3 a.m., I thought of my friend from earlier in the day and I messaged her to be like, hey, man, you're a sister to me. I love you, you know. And I saw the little green dot. I was like, she's online. And I'm like, oh, sick. Like, hey, man. And I went to call her and I was like, oh, it's, I don't need to call her, but like, hey. And then I was like, she's not replying, but the green dot's still there. And I was like, hey, man, are you okay? Like, I remember the conversation we had and I was like, you know what? Just like, just reply or do a thumbs up so I know you're all good.
Yeah.
And then she went to like online 5 minutes ago and I was like, what's going on? And I tried to call her and I called a friend overseas who we've spoken about this stuff a bunch. And he was like, if you really are concerned, you probably, I was like, should I go there?
Yeah.
He was like, if you're really concerned, you should go there. So I put my clothes back on. I got an Uber to the car and then I drove the car to her house. And then I got to the house and it was like dark and there was, you know, and I'm knocking on the door and I'm like, I feel like she's actually just asleep and it's okay, but I don't know what to do. So I called the cops at like 4 a.m. Oh, and they were like, I didn't tell them I had had mushrooms earlier. And they were like, is there a chance that she's just asleep? And I was like, honestly, yes, like probably. So I went home and then I woke up at like 7 a.m. to messages from her. First of all, going like, oh my God, is everything okay? I saw all your calls.
Yeah.
And then 7:30, her going, hey, the police just came to my house fucking and asked me if I'm going to kill myself.
Oh my God. You're like, just give me a call, I'll help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like at her the house. Next just day. Like, don't do it.
Oh my God.
On a quiet suburban street in Adelaide.
Oh my God.
Fuck, what an idiot, man.
No, man, that's still beautiful.
I mean, I think I did the right thing and I'm glad to know that I'm the kind of friend who would do that in that moment. But also I'm like, I'm embarrassed that the police came to her house.
No. God. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Nah, good on you. That's cool. I like that.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Nah, man, I wish I knew. Bloody suicide. It sucks. It's so annoying.
It is annoying.
It's so annoying.
I'm irritated by it.
It's like, guys, you make us so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Can't you just like medicate yourself with illegal drugs? You
know? Oh my God. Oh, actually. Sometimes that does not help.
I know. Well, that's what I said to my friend because I don't know. It's a hard one, right? When someone says that they feel like that to you, what are you going to do? Like tie them down and be like, don't kill yourself. Mm-hmm. Stay there and feel sad. Like, and I think about the Doug Stanhope bit when he's like, if you're in a movie, you watch the first 2/3 and you really like it, you're probably not going to like the last bit of the movie. You might as well just leave if you hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like life. It's not for everyone. Like, I think that's true.
I think so too. I think that where it can, like, I absolutely want to respect people's autonomy and their own decisions.
Mm.
Where it can be a little bit trickier is when people are teenagers.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Your brain's not fully. No, 100%. Literally can't even fathom the future. Yeah. Like, just so annoying. And it's so hard because you want to be like, it is the worst.
Yeah.
Guess what? Being a teenager is the fucking worst.
It sucks.
I would never do it again.
Did you hate it?
Yes. I'm a little bipolar girly who's also bisexual. I'm just like, I was a horny mess of emotions. I've had black hair and a big fringe and you know,
that does sound like a nightmare.
Yeah, it was. I was just sad and confused and oh my God. Did you like being a teenager?
Yeah, I had a really nice time in school.
Oh, that's good.
I was very lucky. I found it really easy. I didn't have to try. It was only after school when you have to actually try and stuff. I was like, I don't know how to do this. I left school thinking like, well, I'm about to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
And then there was like probably about 8 years of just the world teaching me a lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah. When I left school, I think I was the worst person because I was just like,
really?
I rock. I'm the smartest and the funniest and everyone loves me.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fuck, that's
so school was great for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Far it was out. After school that was shit.
Were you like popular in school?
Nah, not super, but I don't know. Like I played piano. I was really good at that. I was played soccer. I was good at that. Yeah. I was great academically. I was in scouts. I had friends outside of school. I genuinely had the best time in school.
That's awesome.
But like, I don't know. It's obviously, it's also hard or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong. The actual schooling part of school I enjoyed a lot more. I wish I paid better attention for the last year, but I was like, I went to a school of arts and, oh, you know, got to have amazing facilities and wonderful teachers and all that. It was like more the social stuff that I was not that into, which is silly because like it was fine. I think it was just like, it was weird to be openly bi. That was
You knew
freaking.
That early.
Yeah. Oh, I knew it. When I told my mom I was bi, she was like, I know, babe. I know. I was like, just imagining me as a baby trying to put the moves on everyone.
Me and a friend were in the park the other day sitting at a table just like working on jokes.
Yeah.
And this little boy came up to us who was like, I don't know, three, and was just so clearly queer. And he just started talking to us. Mm-hmm. He was just like, I have a plaid in my hair.
Do you
like it? And he was like doing all these affectations and stuff. And we were like, this old man was there. We were like, is that your dad? He was like, that's my grandpa. He's from Hungary. He doesn't speak English.
Oh, cute.
But I'd never seen, you know, people talk about like, we knew that kid was gay or queer or whatever. I'd never seen it. But I saw that kid. I was like, oh, yeah.
No, you can tell. You can tell. I used to do a bit of babysitting and nannying and stuff. And I even looked after like a two-year-old little boy, who, adorable, so cute, but he was actually flirting with me.
Was he crushing
it? Which my ego loved. No.
Was he doing all right? Did he have a shot?
Yuck. I had to change his diaper, and I distinctly remember he was like, it's like, let's say his name is like Damo. Mm-hmm. Damo's bot is what he said.
Bot.
About his butt. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, where's Chloe's bot?
Whoa.
And I was like, okay. No, absolutely not. But you play that game later and you are going to kill it, kid.
Yeah.
You ask those girls where their ass is.
That's crazy, isn't it?
It was weird. But it's like, I don't know. And the way that kids can sometimes prefer different people, like you can tell a fair bit.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's not everyone, but
I haven't spent enough time. The only kids in my life are my cousin's kids.
Yeah,
and they're the best. It's the first time I've been around kids. I spent last Christmas and this Christmas there.
Yeah,
the boy's 6, the girl's 4, and they had a newborn this last year as a boy as well. And it's like, it's the best.
They're cute.
Kids are so fucking cool.
They're cool. They're funny. They're fun. I don't want them though. Do you want kids?
I would love to have kids. Yeah.
I could see that.
Absolutely.
That's cute.
I got to figure out relationships first though.
Yeah. I mean, you can do it on your own these days. It's a crazy world out there, but also like seems way harder.
Yeah, I'm not about that.
Fuck that.
No, I want to have like a family, you know?
Cute.
That'd be so nice.
I fucking love, like, I can't wait to be an auntie.
Yeah.
Because I love kids. I just don't want the lifestyle, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
Selfish. I want to have a lot of cats and dogs.
Yep. Fair.
Yep.
That's chill.
Yep. It's the same, actually.
Having cats and dogs as having kids? Oh, it's exactly the same.
Exactly. It's harder, maybe.
Yep.
They can't talk.
You got to figure out what they want.
Exactly.
Man, this is so funny. I'm like, as we've been talking, because you have laptops over there with the waveform, I can see how fucking loud I am. Because every time I talk, it's like clipping. I'm trying to hold the microphone far away from my face.
No, I'm so sorry.
No. It's my fault for being a maniac.
It's fine. Although I have seen the time. We have, we've got to get into some sleepover games.
Oh, let's do some sleepover games.
Oh, man. I keep forgetting to rename the games. I want to rename them so that they're like specific to my podcast.
Okay.
But I keep forgetting.
Are those just generic sleepover names?
Well, I had Would You Rather, but I changed this one to Would You Like To.
Which of these two alternative options would you prefer?
I have.
Yeah, man. You're a good writer.
Thank you. I'm very on the nose, okay? We've got that. We've got Fuck, Marry, Kill, which I have literally written it down in the other room. I just kept forgetting to check it. But I had like ghost something and something. Like I was trying to use like cool Gen Z terms or something.
Is Gen Z terms, is that ghost or Gen Z term?
No, probably not. What would they say? Ick?
Yeah. Ick. Dead.
Ick or dick.
Ick or dick.
That could be good.
That's a good game. What's that?
It's like, Fuck, Marry, Kill, but it's no
Ick, dick, or... Trick.
Maybe. Maybe Gen Z thinks that marriage is a trick.
Maybe they do think it's a trick, and they would be fucking right. The government is in your pocket. The fucking waveform just straight clipping. Just instantly.
It's fine. It's fine. It's a good mic. It'll be fine. All right. Let's play some games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, would you like to put the popcorn in your mouth? There we go. Okay. Would you like to get onto any lineup in the world with as little notice or as much as you want, but not be able to play venues where the producers have allegations?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that knocks out a fair few venues.
Where the producers have allegations.
Yeah. That's a very vague term as well.
Yeah. Is there an alternative or is that just a yes or no?
No, it's would you like to. It's
right. I mean, that's the most obvious answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because if you say no, you're like, okay, so you would rather not be able to get any gigs and also work with predators. Is this a trap? Are you
no.
Is this a fucking sting operation?
No. But I think that a no wouldn't be completely unreasonable when it's a lot of venues that are being taken out. Well, you know what?
That's actually the ideal situation, though. If you can get onto any lineup with no notice, then it doesn't matter if you can't play venues that people have allegations, because there's got to be some good venues out there where the people are all clean and schmick or whatever.
Yeah, but what... Where are they? I don't think they're in Australia.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. Who's got... Do the big venues have allegations? I mean, I know there's some people that are a piece of shit. You can still play some in Australia. Also, you wouldn't stay in Australia straight away. Yeah,
that's so true. That's so true. Okay, all right. I'm moving to New York. That's a good answer.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm starting to shout.
It's getting heated. It's the summer weather. Okay, would you like to be a comedy superstar, but you have to be a musical comedian?
Dude, I just started. You saw my clip.
Yeah.
I literally just started doing comedy with my piano. And the first 10 minutes I have is about how I'm not a musical comedian and I'm doing music and comedy.
Yeah.
You know this.
I know.
The people at home can check it out on my Instagram, Aiden Jones Comedy.
It's very funny.
Yeah. I'm a good comedian.
But you're not allowed to do it like that in this
world. No, I have to play silly songs.
You have to play silly songs.
I would rather be able to do what I want.
All right. Beautiful. Great answer. So much integrity.
I've got integrity, man. What do you think has got me to the broke-ass place I'm in today with my fucking 3,000 followers or whatever?
It's a good place to be.
Why do I have so much self-loathing? As soon as I hear words coming out of my mouth, I'm like, I hate that. I hate that. I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's I think been a very powerful and useful part of doing this podcast is editing myself, which you know, it's like I hate it. And for the first little while, I was like, this is horrific. And now I'm just like, guess that's just who I am.
Yeah. I think I am. Like that for me, it's like I do think I'm a little bit.
Bless you. Oh my God.
Oh, popcorn. I think I'm a little bit popcorn. I think I'm a little bit earnest.
I think I'm
quite an earnest person. But having spent enough time with comedians, there is an automatic voice in my head when I say something earnest that just goes, loser, pathetic.
I
think that's healthy.
Yeah, I agree. I think a bit of that is healthy, but it's hard. Like, I try to shut that up. I haven't been doing music for some time, but I miss doing music earnestly. But the thing that holds me back is that it's so earnest. And I'm like, that's fucking lame. Don't do that.
Well, literally, I think the reason that I've started and doing this 10 minutes at the start of my show is because the kind of climax of the show is I play the whole piece, Chopin's Nocturne in E flat major, while... maybe behind me or whatever, but people are going to read this message that I said to my biological father when I went back to see him in September that I've always wanted to say to him.
Yeah.
It's a completely earnest moment. And that's the kind of idea that I wanted for the show to play classical music and tell this really like sincere story about my life.
Cool.
But to get to that place, first I have to deal with all the objections that are in my mind. Mm-hmm. So that's where the comedy comes from, I think.
Wow.
It's like me fighting with myself.
Yeah.
Just going, I know that's what I'm going to do, but first, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know.
Far out. That's so interesting. That sounds like a really good tactic to deal with it.
Yeah, I guess. And I'm trying to get in before any of the people that I know are going to comment on it when I put it online. I'm just like, you fucking pussy, are you? I'm like, actually, no, I refer you to 3:47.
Yes. Yeah, you're like, I said that already. I already actually joked about that. All right, dude. No, I love that. I don't know. I never like a big comedy fan or anything. I just... loved writing, always wanted to like be a TV writer and whatever else. And I love, like I recently rewatched Girls. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is perfection to me. It is hilarious in moments, but it's so sad in others. Mm-hmm. And it's just life, right?
It's perfect, man. That's what comedy should be. It just can't be funny all the time.
It can't be. That's just not the world.
You won't even get good laughs if you're funny all the time. Yeah. There needs to be like pathos and some kind of low moment to have the laugh about. If you're just making fucking silly little wordplay jokes or whatever all the time, you're just autistic, you know, like
yeah, which many people are.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's fine. That's actually cool. Fine. It's actually better. All right, let's play this ick, dick, sick. Right. Fuck Mary Kill. It's Fuck Mary
Kill. Yeah.
Now this one's very inside baseball. But I just really wanted to see what you'd say. So the listeners probably won't know. Some of the Australian fans probably know a couple of these people. Comedians and a producer. Fuck, Marry, Kill, Shad Wicker, Peter James and Jake Smith.
Oh, that's a great one.
Thank you.
That's so good. Man, I mean, you gotta marry Peter James. Yeah. You actually just have to marry Peter James. There's no other answer. And honestly, Jake or Shaddy.
It's hard.
I think my instinct is to kill Jake.
Yes.
Because I'm scared to fuck him. I'm scared of what he'll do to me.
Oh my God.
You don't fuck Jake. You only get fucked by Jake. God. There's no fucking. Jake is like fucking Ned Kelly, you know?
Do you think so?
Well, he's also a kind man or whatever, but he's just so big and, you know?
Maybe he's gotten more jacked since I've been in Brisbane.
Well, he's just tall. I don't know.
Yeah. No.
I'm a man. You know?
No judgment here.
I have that. I'm intimidated by having a sexual partner who's larger than me.
Mm. Yeah, whereas that is like as a woman, natural. I like that. Yeah. To be small. Yeah, but I also would kill Jake Smith. I want that to be on record. I would also kill Jake Smith.
Would you?
I'm not even being put on the spot here. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with
the
game.
If you wanted to do it, like if you have a kind of a plan set up or whatever. Yeah, and I mean, you know, me and Shad would have like beautiful brown children.
Oh, gorgeous.
Well. Yeah. Two brown men just fucking the night away.
Yeah. That's, people would like that.
Yeah, I think people would like that. I mean, they better.
I don't think you understand where babies come from, but.
No.
I wish you luck. Okay. One more fuck, marry, kill. And this is just curiosity of mine. So sorry, listeners. But fuck, marry, kill, Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival, and Adelaide Fringe.
Oh, that is good. Wow. Fuck.
I feel like they're quite different ones.
I'm fucking Sydney.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. Dude. Sydney's hot.
Sydney's so hot.
Sydney's so hot.
Honestly.
And I think out of Melbourne and Adelaide, Melbourne would be better to fuck, but I'm fucking Sydney.
Yeah.
And I think Melbourne would be annoying to marry. Yeah. So I think I'm marrying Adelaide.
Wow.
And I think I'm killing Melbourne.
Oh my God. Wow. Yep. That's, you're going to save so many people so much money.
Yeah.
That's actually really beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I won't say anything. I'll talk about it after April.
Are you doing Melbourne this year?
Yeah, my first time.
Great.
It's so expensive.
I'm really excited for you.
Thanks. It's I miss money. We've got one more game.
Nice.
It's Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare.
Yeah. I know, it's a big one.
Yeah. I haven't done this shit in ages.
It's up to you. Truth or dare.
Oh, yeah. That's how you play.
Yeah.
Dare.
Okay. I'm going to make a slight tweak to what I have written down here because I can, because it's my show. And instead of sing, I'm going to say rap a song about your podcast.
About my podcast? Yeah. Oh, my God. My podcast is mad and it makes me feel lonely. Come and be the listener and you'll be the only one. You get it in your headphones, brother. You and me, man, there will never be another.
It's really good. That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. Oh my God. Thanks for coming into the fort.
Thank you so much for having me in the fort.
Of course. Of course. Come on back.
Yeah.
Can you tell these lovely listeners where to find you and what you're doing?
Hit me up, Aiden Jones Comedy on Instagram, AidenJonesComedy.com. I have a comedy special on YouTube for free. It's called Taco. It's about how I met my biological father, who is Colombian, when I was 28 years old.
Crazy.
It's called Taco because the first girl I ever kissed thought I looked Mexican and she was like Taco and I wanted to kiss her, so I was like, yeah, I'll be Taco. I also have a documentary about the Edinburgh Fringe coming back after COVID, which is also on YouTube, and my podcast is called Sitting Under a Tree.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you,
all of the links will be in the description as well, so people can find it. Easy peasy. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, dude. This has been sick fun.
Anytime. Let's eat the rest of this popcorn.
Let's get into it.
Thank you guys for listening. I love ya.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.